I'm coming for a glorious church. I'm coming for a church that's been redeemed by my blood. I'm coming for a church that's been washed and made clean. I'm coming for a church that's been occupying and possessing and doing my will. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Good. You ready to hear the word? Amen. And don't let an opportunity by to support the word. Amen. Take a moment and invest in God's kingdom. You can do that anytime during the back. There's a container in the back there. Well, you know, I was praying today. Of course, you know, I thought when I traveled to different churches, I thought I'd never do a series. But I laugh at that now. And we just got done doing the series, and I was asking, I didn't feel like we needed to go on with that. And I was asking, Lord, what do you want to tell the people? And he put something on my heart about the power of God. Aren't you glad that we have a God who has power, right? And so we want to see the power of God enhanced in your life. How many want to see the power of God enhanced in your life? All right? And we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is the Apostle Paul. He was testifying here. We'll start with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, if you need to know that Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And look at verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you study Paul's life, he spent his time ministering to people who never heard the gospel. He went where the gospel had never gone, and he would preach the gospel. He would lay the foundation. A church would start. And then he would move on and he'd find someone to pastor that church. But he ministered to people who hadn't heard the gospel, and he wasn't relying on his words. Now, Paul was an educated man, right? Nothing wrong with an education. An education is awesome, but you cannot deny the power of God. And God's power likes to be demonstrated, displayed, shown, manifested. Alright? And Paul said he wanted people's faith to stand in the power. That means it doesn't matter who the man is, but it matters not the power. I want to tell you the power is here. Amen? Has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God's word. I want your faith tonight to be in God's power. We have to be a people who has faith in God's power. Because what's going to change things? God's power. What's going to create a difference? God's power. We need God's power. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young. Now, I don't like to use the word older. Moses operated in the power of God in his 80s. John the Baptist operated in the power of God in the womb. I think that covers all of us. Right? But we have to be, if we're God's people, we need to be a people that are in tune with His power. See, God's power is fluid. It likes to flow. It likes to go because it likes to show. It likes to move. It can go from one person to another person. It can come down from heaven and move. It can touch one or a crowd. God's power. God's power is real. I don't have to prove to you that God's power exists. You have to believe it. Jesus never did miracles just to prove it. He did miracles to help people. And some of the people didn't even know who he was. So we want to have God's power enhanced in us. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Go to Luke chapter 5. I'm excited about the power of God. See, the power of God is like electricity. Electricity can be used in many different ways. It can light, it can warm, it can purify, it can chill, right? It can give you a new hairdo if you come in contact with it. Isn't that right? Yeah. One time on my grandpa's farm when I was a young boy, I had to pee, and I happened to pee on the electric fence. I didn't know it was there until, but then I knew it was there, let me tell you. I felt the power. True story. You know, and when electricity has a conductor, it'll flow. And see, God's power just needs people who are conductors, who will allow the power of God to flow to them and through them. Will you be a conductor for Jesus? All right? Luke chapter 5. And in verse 17. Luke 5 and verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was, what? Teaching. Can there be power when there's teaching? Yes. Jesus was the Word. He is the Word, so the Word was being taught. Whenever the Word is being taught, there's power. Okay? That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And notice this last phrase. And the what? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. I thought about this. How many people who were there realized the power of God was present to heal? This room was packed. This room was standing room. There wasn't a seat left in this house. Okay? But yet, he was teaching, and the Bible specifically says that the power of the Lord was present. What was that power there to do? To heal. Okay? God's power can heal, it can save, it can deliver, it can free, it can help, it can turn things around, it can change hearts, it can do anything. But in this particular case, the power was there to heal. You think the power is here tonight? Did you come expecting to encounter the power of God tonight? So there were all these educated people there. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. I want you to get this picture. There's a group of people that are searching out the power. Many people who were sitting in there didn't even know the power was there. But yet, so, there was a group of people, they needed to help their friend. Their friend had the problem, and they were looking to get to the power source. Okay? They're trying to make their way. They're making an effort. You know what? I've discovered the power of God doesn't seek people out. People seek the power out. Everybody who came to Jesus got healed. What about the ones that didn't come to him? Just a thought. Okay? Verse 19. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden he hears something. And he looks up, he sees some dust falling from the sky, and he sees an opening being made in the ceiling. And he's seeing these guys let down this guy on his mat, on his couch. And Jesus just said, I can't believe they're interrupting my message. No, he didn't say that. He saw something. What did he see in verse 20? He saw their faith. If you want to connect with the power of God, it's going to take faith. It's going to take you believing and trusting in God's power. Isn't it interesting how the Bible says he saw their faith? What does that say about faith? Faith is an action. Faith, you have to act faith out. Either verbally, you have to speak it, or you have to do a movement. He saw their faith, and he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven. Instantly, when he saw faith, power was there. Power, they connected to the power. And he told this man that your sins are forgiven. Yeah, but I don't need forgiveness. I need healing. But I want you to tell you something. The same power to heal is the same power to forgive. It's no different power. The same power to save is the same power to heal. Same power. Why? It's the same person. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus must be God. He is. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, I want you to notice, they were thinking, but Jesus knew their thoughts. Because you know what? The Word of God knows your hearts. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents in the hearts. Okay? He answered and said unto them, why do you reason in your hearts? What is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? It's the same. It's just as easy to say you're forgiven. It's just as easy to say you're healed. It's the same. Because guess what? When God forgives you, he heals you. Amen? But that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Power upon earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I bet he was sick of the palsy too. Amen? I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go to your house. This was a man who couldn't even walk to the meeting. This was a man who couldn't help himself. He had to have friends help him. And Jesus is telling him, arise, pick up your mat, and go to your home. Immediately he arose up before them, took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Awesome. Can you see how faith tapped into that power that was there? And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They saw a guy get let down through a roof. They saw him being forgiven and healed. And they saw the same man that was lowered down walk out. That's the power of God. That is the reality of the power of God. Amen? The power of God produces good results. Okay? And it just took four guys who weren't going to, I don't know if it was four. It just took a group of guys who weren't going to let that nothing stop them get to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you. Get to Jesus. Make your way to Jesus. I don't care what you have to do. Get to Jesus. That's faith. I hear too many excuses of people of why they can't get to Jesus. I'm too sore. I'm in too much pain. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Well, all those excuses will not enhance the power of God in your life. I want you to go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Now, this word power that we're talking about, all the scriptures that I'm using contain the word dunamis. Does that Greek word dunamis remind you of anything? Dynamite. What happens when you connect dynamite to an igniter and you plunge it down? Dynamite makes things explode. Okay, it's not the J.J. Walker dynamite, right? Some of you may remember that. He was a tall, skinny black guy in the 70s that goes, he's dynamite. Well, guess what? We got dynamite right here in us, available to us. You just need to get connected. Your mouth is the fuse. Acts chapter 6. Church was growing exponentially. 3,000 people had gotten saved, and then another 2,000 people had gotten saved, and so they needed help. And look at verse 3. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Everybody say honest report. That means a good character. Full of the Holy Ghost. Say full of the Holy Ghost. And wisdom. Those are three things that will help enhance the power of God in your life. Okay? A good character, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Notice how they described Stephen. A man full of what? Full of faith. How do you get full of faith? How do you get full of faith? Faith comes by hearing, and Stephen must have been a person who constantly heard the word. Not just heard it, but he got it inside of him. He got it in. He meditated in it. He pondered it. He was full. Listen, you can't be full of faith without being full of the word. Okay? Did you know that this is the script for miracles? This is the script for miracles that was written by God. Manna from heaven. Okay? So he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, whom they had set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of what? Full of faith and what? Did great wonders and miracles where? He did great wonders. What kind of wonder? Stuff that's so great it makes you wonder. Great wonders, great miracles. He did that among the people because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith, and he was full of wisdom. Not empty, not partial, full. 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 It's our responsibility to get full. It's our responsibility to stay full. There's going to be a lot of things in life that try to suck this out of you. And sometimes, you know, you go throughout the day, you got to come back and get refilled. Thank God that God's Word and the Holy Ghost and God's presence is the filling station. You can go to the filling station anytime. Don't even have to charge. God won't charge you. Don't even have to have a card or anything like that. You can just get filled up in his presence. So he did great wonders and miracles among the people because he was full of faith and power. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Woo! He had the Holy Ghost directing him to win every debate. They couldn't even argue against him. That's what the power of God will do for you. But you got to be full of faith. You got to be full of the Word. You got to know Jesus. You got to walk with Jesus. You got to talk with, you got to spend time with Jesus. You got to put Jesus in your schedule somewhere. Otherwise, you won't have the power. Fullness produced the power. Stephen was a person just like you and I. He was a layman. But yet he did miracles and wonders among the people. And it was directly connected to his fullness. He stayed close to the power source. The power of God was enhanced in his life. See, when God wants the power of God to affect every area of your life. He wants you to walk into a place and be the light that is turned on when you walk into that place. When you walk into a place, people just like, whoa. They just take notice because it's not you, it's the power that's in you. God needs containers and vessels that he can put his power in, and you got to be ready to release it at any time. You got to be ready to pray for people. You got to be ready to witness. You got to be ready to stand up for Jesus. All right? You know, God's kingdom is a kingdom full of power and glory. His kingdom is full of power and glory. And he's willing to share it with us. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. How do you get full in the kingdom of God? There's two things that you need. You need to, has to do with food and drink. You need to hunger and thirst. The Bible says, all who hunger and thirst shall be filled. So if you came here hungry, hungry is eager, willing. You're willing to pay attention. You're willing to listen. You're willing to get this inside of you. Because when you get it inside of you, it'll transform your life. And it'll transform the lives of others. Just get on fire and people come watch you burn. Okay, let's go to verse 29. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus was having a little discussion with the Pharisees. And you know why the Sadducees were sad, right? The Sadducees were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. So Jesus, in his discussion with the Pharisees, in verse 29, he says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Uh-oh. If you don't know the scriptures, I guarantee you, you don't know the power of God. Now, you may have experienced the power of God, but experiencing it, knowing it are two different things. When you know the power of God, you're able to communicate that to others. You're able to transform situations. Jesus is talking to religious leaders. Religious leaders, he said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they will neither marry nor are given in marriage. That's when they asked them, you know, this brother marries this girl and he dies, and his other brother marries him and he dies, and his other brother marries him and he dies. Whose wife is she going to be? They didn't have a clue. They didn't even know how the kingdom of God works. Because they don't know the scriptures. If you don't know the scriptures, you will err. And you won't know the power of God. People who come here have no excuse of not knowing the scriptures. Because believe me, you get exposed to a lot of scriptures here. Because I love the word. All right? So knowing scriptures enhances God's power. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's just look at verse 35. We know this, but it's good to look at it. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Hey, Nate, can I use you as an example? Come here, come up here, please. All right? So, Mary wanted to know how this was going to happen. And God says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. In other words, God's power is going to come on you in such a way, it's going to surround you, it's going to infiltrate you, it's going to get into every little part. Have you ever, on a hot day, have you ever taken a jug of water or whatever and begin to pour it? The longer you pour it, eventually you get all wet, right? Because it flows down from your head, it gets down on you, and it gets all around. Thank you. But see, God's power can envelop you. God's power can wrap you up like a burrito. God's power can come on. It's not limited to time and space. Mary invited the power of God by faith. She believed what was being told her. And she said, okay, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be according to your word. See, God's power always works in conjunction with his word. He never works apart from his word. He always works through his word. The word is the authority of the universe. Why? Because without the word, there wouldn't be a universe. The word brought this universe together. The word holds it in place. The word keeps it going. And so that's why God does everything through his word. That's why tonight the power of God is here, because God's word is here. And then the Holy Spirit, he breathes on that word. And he makes it alive and active. You know, like when a fire starts to get low and you breathe on that, you know, it's just barely burning, but you breathe on it and all of a sudden that fire gains strength, it gains oxygen, and it gets bigger and brighter and warmer, doesn't it? Just with a little breath. And God, the Holy Spirit takes God's word and he just breathes it and he makes it active and living on the inside of us. You know you're ready for God's power when God's word becomes a reality in you. It's not just the knowledge of the word, but it's having the reality of the word on the inside of you. It's like God shows you something and it's in here, not in here. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 1. I like this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? And authority over who? Over some of the devils? All devils, and to what? And to heal or cure diseases. Jesus took his authority, he took his power, and he delegated it to his disciples. How many are a disciple of Jesus? That's a follower. That's a learner. That's someone who's continuing to grow in knowledge of God. You're following after Jesus. You're going where he wants you. You're doing what he wants you to do. You young people need to be disciples of Jesus. Listen, God's got you in your high school so you can transform it with the power of God. It's time for the church to rise up with power. Too many times, the church, the overall church, the universal church, we have not used our power like we should. When they took prayer out of school, the church was not using its power like it should. We don't have to stand for some of that stuff. But you know what? Forget the past. But let's operate in the power of God. Let's do what we can. How do you operate in the power of God? You just do what Jesus says to do. See, you don't even have to know. You just do what he says do, and the power of God will work. Okay, so he commissioned his disciples. He gave them power and authority over all devils or demons and to heal disease. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Everybody put your hands on you somewhere and say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Say, Jesus sent me to heal. He authorized me to speak his word and bring healing. Amen. Now, you're not the healer, but Jesus is, but he does it through avenues. Amen? He does it through protocol. He does it through means. Now, there are times when the power of God can just fall in a place, but then there are other times when God leads people to lay hands on people, and he transfers the anointing. That's why we believe in laying hands on people, because that's for an opportunity for the power of God to work. So that he sent them to do the same thing that he did. He gave them the same power, the same ability, the same commission. And they did. Go over to Luke 10. Let's look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Boy, is that not a good strategy? He sent two people into a city before he got there so that they could go and prepare the place for him. They were priming the pump. They went preaching. And then when the source came, the pumps were already primed and the water flowed nice and easy. Right? You know what it means to prime the pump? It's when you first pump, you might not get any water because you got to get the air out. But when you pump, eventually it's going to create that vacuum and the water is going to be poured out nice and easy. It just comes right out, right? So the 70 went out. Verse 2, therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We got a harvest right here. Right here in Pennsylvania, there's a harvest. Would you be a laborer? Would you go and do what God tells you to do fearlessly? If God told you to go at Walmart on a Friday night and start to preach Jesus, would you? Or if you're buying that roast and you're looking at the roast, you're seeing what kind of roast you want, put that roast down and go lay hands on that person. I know some of you are reluctant. You're like, oh, I don't know about that. Why? You've got the power of God. You've got the advantage. You think the power of God would ever lead you wrong? It wouldn't. It doesn't. That's why you got to trust the power of God. God needs people to communicate his goodness to others. So, and go down to verse 19. Or no, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are what? Subject to us through your name. And Jesus said, yeah, don't worry that the devils are subject to you, but be concerned that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But isn't that awesome? They took the power that God gave them and used it. That's all God wants. He wants us to take his power and use it. See, he wants every believer endued with power from on high. Everybody. He says, in Luke 24:49, he says, I send the promise of my Father, and I'm going to endue you with power. He wants every believer to be endued with power. Holy Ghost power, dunamis power, wonder-working power, miracle-working power, devil-overcoming power, healing power, forgiving power, loving power. And he wants us to take that power and share it with others. God loves you so much. He demonstrated the power of God everywhere he went. Healed people, miracles, walking on water, speaking to trees, speaking to wind, multiplying breads and loaves. Moses had a rod. God used that rod to wrought miracles in Egypt. David had 5 smooth stones he killed a giant with. Samson had a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 people with a jawbone. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. You may think that you don't have a lot to offer. You have something. God will use your something. Get your something into his hands. Get your something into, you know, God's got something. He's given you something. Use your something for him. Just start to use it. You don't even have to know how to use it. You just start using it and the Holy Ghost will help you use it. You're here tonight. Wednesday night refreshing. It's cold outside, but it's warm inside. And you came here because you needed to encounter God's power. So if you want to encounter God's power, God wants to meet you where you are. He just wants you to believe in the power. Well, what's the power going to do? I don't know. The power of God affects everybody differently. Don't worry about that. You just believe that whatever you're dealing with in life, that God has the answer, God has the solution, that God's power can change it right now. Because his power is present, and you tap into his power by faith. Faith is an action. If you're wondering if you should get prayed for, then you better get up here. Stop wondering and move forward in the name of Jesus and come and let God's power just do what it needs to do in your life. If you need healing, if you need help, if you need direction, certainly if you need to be saved. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We can't get saved without power. We need the power of God. We need to be people whom the power of God can flow through. The power of God is real. Father, I give you thanks and praise that your power is present and you're going to help these people experience your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be empowered, be strengthened with might. in your inner man by the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Father, we release the power of God right now in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, just let your power flow to her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I just release the power of God in the name of Jesus. Let your power flow and do what needs to be done in her life, in everything that she's facing right now, in Jesus' name. The power of God has real solutions. It has the power to change things, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, oh, I thank you, Father, for a fresh touch of your power, a shower of your power, in Jesus' name. Yes, Father, it's working right now mightily in her. It's effectually working in her in the name of Jesus. We release your power, Father. Oh, we glorify your power in Jesus' name. Oh, let the fire of God fall right now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're a live wire. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your power is real and it shows up because she believes in you. Lord, let the power of God right now restore health and strength. I command her lungs to open up in the name of Jesus. And I say, behold, in Jesus' name, I command any inflamed thing to shrink now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she's whole, she's free, she's full in Jesus' name. Yeah. Like the power of a tornado and a hurricane. Father, let the power of God blow like a mighty rushing wind. In the name of Jesus, we release the power in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that she receives the power that she needs. Father, I give you thanks right now that your power is at work in her, working mightily, leading, guiding, and directing, and strengthening. Father, just like Gideon blew the trumpets and the soldiers responded, Father, she raises her voice and things happen. In the name of Jesus, you release the power, Father, just fill and touch her in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, just touch her with your power in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for supernatural power in the name of Jesus. He's plugged in right now in the name of Jesus. And there's a boost of power, a turbocharge. Father, in the name of Jesus. Not one barrel, but two barrels in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise for your power to do its thing in Jesus' name. Father, touch him and fill him with your power in Jesus' name. He needs power for this hour. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your power solves problems. It does amazing things. It makes him wonder. I command the power of peace to come upon him right now. Peace that passes understanding. Keep your heart and your mind fixed in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise for touching him with your mighty power. Lord, let your power flow like a rushing river in the name of Jesus. Let it wash over him, Father, in Jesus' name, like a waterfall, like Niagara Falls. Ah, the thundering deep calls unto deep. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father, for releasing your power and washing over him in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now that he's got the power of the lion of the tribe of Judah in the name of Jesus. Touch and fill him, Father, with the power of God in Jesus' name. Transform him, Father. Oh, and unleash the gifts in greater ways, in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now. I thank you, Lord, that you touch him and you, with your power, you meet every need that he has, Father. You're able to do things abundantly above all that you could ask or think. God wants to do that for you. He wants to exceed. He wants to exceed the need. Oh, he wants you to abound. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of God. Oh, like a volcano, you're getting ready to explode into your destiny in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks and praise that your power opens doors that no man can shut. And it closes doors that no man can open. And I just thank you, Father, that your power has its way in her in the name of Jesus, from her head to her toes, in and out and all around, Father. Let the power of God just flow over her like waves of the sea going forth, back and forth in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. Father, Father, I just thank you, Lord, blast them with the dunamis power of God in the name of Jesus. And you cause a Holy Ghost explosion up their belly, Father, to blow away the boldness, to open up ways that were not known in the name of Jesus, to create paths underneath the sea for them to go forward and to progress and to increase in Jesus' name. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, thank you, Father, for your power. In the name of Jesus, let's just praise God for his power. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we praise you for your power. The power to take a life that's been messed up and make it whole and make it right again. Hallelujah. God specializes in turning hopeless situations around. Hallelujah. We all can share testimony after testimony of how God has done that. Put your faith in God's power. No matter what you face, no matter what comes up in life, God's power is the only thing that can get you through it, that can change it for the good. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He took our sins. He showed us how to live a life with God. And he's coming back for us. Amen.